The following podcast contains adult language and graphic situations. Thanks for listening.
I've never fit, but I won't complain and I won't quit. I am enormous. Get used to it. Everyone tells me I'm too much. Maybe it's just you're not enough for me. Can't you see? I'm the kind of woman I'm supposed to be. Hey, my vagina is 8 miles wide. Absolutely everyone can come inside. If you're ever frightened, just run and hide. My vagina is 8 miles wide.
Hi there, and welcome to the Body Storytelling Podcast. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie De La Tour, and this week we have a story from author, columnist, and documentary TV series creator and host, Slut Ever. Y'all know body still lives, right? COVID ain't killed us yet. We're living on the internet. Until we can get together in person, now we create special shows every 2 weeks. On a Saturday night, we come together and experience community, but now it's all over the world. Wherever you are, you can come to a live body storytelling. And we have a really special show this Saturday, August 15th. You know how sometimes you meet somebody and they tell you what their kink is and you're like, wow, I wonder how that got to be their thing. I wonder what that's about. I wish I knew somebody that they could tell me their story. Well, that is this show. This show has some fetishes you've always wondered about. Wish you could hear someone's firsthand story. And that's what's happening this Saturday night. Get your tickets as soon as possible. You can find them in the show notes for this episode. You can also find them on the Body Storytelling website. And if it isn't great enough, we're going to have music from the incomparable Rachel Lark. I hope to see you at the live stream on Saturday night. Maybe I'll see your face. We have this new ticket called the Voyeur, so you can watch my face and I can't see yours. That's kind of evil. But if you're feeling shy, it's perfect. Exhibitionists will be on screen. We'll have furries. We'll have clowns. We'll have kinksters. Sometimes we have people dressed like sexy Harry Potter. Sometimes we have circus. Sometimes we have the Muppets. You never know who's going to be right there with you enjoying the show. You know how you feel lonely when you usually watch a live stream? Not this one, baby. So get your tickets as soon as possible for the Body Storytelling live stream. And I'll see you in person. Happy Blurs Day, y'all. How you getting through this thing? It shifts day to day for me. One day, I'm stomping around the house. And that's really hard because I have like a boot. I went to the doctor, I went to the podiatrist, and who knows, I might need surgery, but I've got a medical boot on, so stomping around is really awkward. I'm getting out of bed, but only barely. I'm really sucking at my job these days. But I mean, I've never been through anything like this before. I'm not sure how I'm supposed to keep going the way I need to right now. I have three coping mechanisms that always work for me. There's always Ben & Jerry's vanilla caramel fudge. Usually makes me feel better. I had a pint of it last night. Helped a little. A hot bath and a clawfoot bathtub. That almost always works. And being good to my St. Bernard Quake. I just, for no reason, just gave him a bully stick. I had one. It was kind of scrawny. A bully stick is a bull's penis, by the way. I had one and I was just in a bad mood and I wanted to experience a dog's joy. So I woke him up from his nap. St. Bernard snore. It's so awesome. Woke him up from his nap and I said, can I give you a present? And he did his little dance. He spun 5 or 6 times and boy, that knocks everything off the furniture. And he lay down with a giant thump, ready to chew on that bull's penis. Made him happy. Made me happy making him happy. I'm very curious to hear how you're getting through this. I'd love to know what's going on for you. That is the thing that I probably miss most about live shows is just what's going on with you. How are you doing? Anything good happen to you? How can I help you get through the bad times? I miss that interpersonal connection. If you want to write me an email, however you want to do it, I'd love to hear from you. My favorite is when you send me a voice memo recording so that I can hear your voice. I got a great one last week. It made me so happy having somebody just talk to me, tell me what was going on in their life. So that's what's getting me through. Ice cream, hot baths, and the love of a good dog. And one day it's going to end. I'm feeling a little bit hopeful. I know it's not going to be for a long time, but one day it's going to end. And then we can come together. Until then, stories will bring us together. And that's what we're doing here on the podcast. I hope you like our story this week. I'm pretty excited about it. It's time to get to the meat in this sandwich, don't you think? It's time for a story. And we have a really good one for you this time. I know you're a fan of Sledever, because that's the kind of person you are. And I want to tell you a little backstory before I tell you this story. Once upon a time, I did my first show in New York City many, many years ago. I think it was 2012. I had some rock stars in the show. I had master storyteller Mike Daisy. I had Tawana Hines. I had some amazing storytellers in the most beautiful venue I have ever done a show in. It was called Galapagos. And it had a moat. No, it had a lake in the middle of... It actually had a lake in the middle of this gorgeous venue. Unfortunately, my photographer that night fell into the moat. We learned that the water was colored blue by some sort of food coloring or something, because when she fell in, everything turned blue. Yeah, including her tampon. So I had to take her backstage to my dressing room, stay in my little cupcake dress, and then give her the street clothes that I had worn because, yeah, she was freaking out about that blue tampon, I can tell you that. Anyway, I had some fantastic storytellers in the show, and when I wrote this storyteller and asked her, she said, sure. She was so nice. She got on the phone with me. We talked. I said, I'd like to coach you to help you do the best possible job on your story, and she took notes. She listened. Sometimes when you deal with rock stars, they don't always want to be coached, but she was a dream come true and blew us away on stage. Such a natural storyteller. Makes sense. Given the trajectory her life has taken since then, not surprised at all. But she's back. We had her recently on the live stream. And I want to tell you about this week's storyteller. Carly Shortino is the sex and relationships columnist at Vogue magazine. That column's called Breathless. The author of the book Sledever and the creator, host, and executive producer of the Sledever documentary TV series on Viceland. She is also the host of Love in Quarantine, a 10-part miniseries about love during this weird, weird time we're living in right now. I'm going to include a link to that in the show notes. Are you ready? Here we go. This storyteller is Sledever.
Oh my God, I feel so much pressure now because you said I was good at this. Okay, I'm excited. So back in my mid-20s, I was a broke blogger living in like deep Brooklyn with roughly 900 roommates. And I was struggling to pay my rent, so I did what any industrious slut would do, and I became a sugar baby, obviously. So I assume that most of the pervs in this audience know what a sugar baby is, but if not, a sugar baby is a person who accepts gifts in exchange for companionship, like which is essentially the socially acceptable way of saying being a whore. So I start a profile on Seeking Arrangement, and you know, I'm like chatting with guys, going on some dates, and it's exciting and it's new and it's scary. And about a week in, I get this invite from a guy inviting me to a lunch date at this place called Milos, which is a restaurant in Midtown Manhattan, and it's like super fancy and expensive, like expense account vibes. And I'm nervous because, like, I've never eaten anywhere that's like that, right? Like, until recently before then, I had identified as a freegan, which is, like, this ostensibly cool ideology where you reject consumerism by reducing food waste, which essentially means that you just, like, eat stale bagels out of the trash. So this was really exciting for me. But I didn't know what to wear, which was, like, stressing me out. So I Googled, like, where to prostitute shop. And the first thing that came up was this Yahoo Answers page where someone very confidently was like, Zara. So I was like, okay. So, like, go to Zara and spend my entire savings, aka, like, $65 on a dress. And I'm feeling, like, extremely powerful. So I show up at this fancy restaurant and the guy is sitting at the bar. He's, like, charmingly nerdy, about 40, like, think autistic Paul Rudd. And I don't want to say too much about him because I don't want to get sued, but basically he created an app that you almost definitely have on your phone. So I hear this information and I'm like, okay, I have to make a really good impression. So I, like, chug a martini in 30 seconds for, like, drunk power and, like, to reduce my anxiety. And, like, usually on these sugar dates, you have to really tiptoe around the money situation, like, to feign that you actually want to be there. But with this guy, he was just like, look, like, I hate talking about money. Do you want $2,000? And I was like, at the time, that was 4 months' rent for me. So I was like, oh, yeah, like, I guess that's okay. Like, pretending to be expensive, like, when I would have actually done it for $200. Let's be real. So he keeps being like, let's get drunk. It would be so fun to get drunk, like, ordering drinks. And, like, I thought it was kind of weird because it was literally 1 p.m. on a Wednesday, but an alcoholic loves an enabler. So I was like, I'm down, and, like, ignored what clearly was somewhat of a red flag. So after lunch, we go back to his hotel, like the St. Regis, this fancy hotel, and I'm 3 martinis deep, like, stumbling through the lobby. And we get up to his room and we start fooling around. And the only way I can explain it is, like, that sex scene in the movie Big where Tom Hanks is actually, like, a 14-year-old in the body of a man and has no idea even what sex is. So he's, like, rubbing his head back and forth across my boobs while my clothes are still on, just, like, robotically not progressing for an awkwardly long time. And I'm, like, trying to move things along, like, but every time I go for his zipper, he, like, finds a reason to get up and walk across the room, like, to adjust the room temperature. And eventually I'm like, bro, what's going on? And he's like, this is the wrong moment. Like, I just feel like really we have to, like, get in the zone and, like, go back down to the bar and have another drink. I'm like, I need that 2K. So, okay, like, putting on my, like, trashy sandals. We get down to the bar. And just for context, this is the kind of place where, like, chic old ladies in Chanel sip Bloody Marys under, like, an actual original Salvador Dali painting. It's not the kind of place you go to have a drunken afternoon nap, but, like, I'm there, like, vaguely passed out on the velvet sofa with my Zara dress, like, pulled up over my butt, and the guy's ordering $300 glasses of whiskey that I obviously don't need. And so eventually he's like, I got it. I know what would make this date perfect. Like, do you have any friends that you could invite to come hang out with us? Like, any hot friends? And I'm just like, this is so predictable, because what people don't tell you about being a sugar baby before you've started is that an enormous part of the job is being a reluctant orgy organizer. But I'm new at this. So I'm like, okay. So I suggest my friend Madeline, who's a professional escort. And he's like, no, I don't want a professional. Like, we need fresh blood. So I'm like, look, unfortunately, I don't have, like, a civilian friend who would be ready and available to come at, like, 4 p.m. on a Wednesday to fuck a stranger. Sorry. And he's, like, really grouchy about it. But then suddenly I remember my fan. So, like, around this time I had this, like, internet stalker fangirl who would send me Facebook messages almost every day with, like, far too many exclamation points. Like, hi, like, I'm Danish and I'm here in New York for, like, a summer internship, and I really think we should hang out because, like, I think we were best friends in a past life. And I never responded to her because, like, she seemed fully unhinged. But suddenly, like, this fangirl seemed really appealing, and I was like, well, I do have this like fan that I've never met who seems like vaguely mentally unstable. Like maybe she'd be down. And he was like, she's perfect. So I go to her Facebook and I look at her Facebook picture and she like looks like an aspiring librarian. She has like frizzy hair and crooked glasses and like looks biologically frazzled. And I was like, okay. So I like sent her this message like, I'm at this hotel, like about to fuck this guy. You should come hang out with us. And she responds literally in 2 minutes. It's just like, I'll be there in an hour. So you know how there's like that point when you're drunk where you're like trying to hold on to enough sobriety that you seem vaguely normal. But then there's like that other tipping point where you're just like trying to be conscious. Well, I was there and then apparently I failed because the next thing I remember is that I wake up in a hotel room that's completely dark alone. And I'm like, okay, I've been here before. This has happened before. Like I can do this. So my first response is like anger for some reason. I'm like, where are my non-friends and why did they abandon me? So like I get up and just like charge out of the room, like angry, not sure where I'm going, get halfway down the hallway. And then I'm like, okay, I'm not wearing any shoes and I don't have my phone or my bag, which like I hope are back in that hotel room, but I'm not even sure. And I don't have a key to the room. And like now that I'm halfway down the hallway, like I'm not even sure what room I came out of. So I'm like, okay, I gotta go down to the lobby. But then I realize I look fucking crazy and that I don't even know what the last name of the guy who I came with is. So I'm like, fuck. So like for some reason, like AKA like drunken rage logic, I just start like pounding on the hotel door that's right in front of me. Like I think I wanted to use their phone to call the lobby, but like I'm not even entirely sure. And so the door swings open and it's just like this hot British guy in a robe, like Justin Trudeau, but like less of a cuck. And I was like, okay. And he was like, what are you doing? And I was like, I don't know. What are you doing? And he was like, I don't know. What are you doing? And I was like, fair question. And I was like, I am staying at the hotel, but I lost my keys and my phone and my shoes and my dignity. And can I use your phone? And he was like, okay. So I go in. And I suddenly realized, like, I don't want to make that phone call to the lobby in front of him because it's super embarrassing. So I'm stalling. I'm like, why are you here in New York? And he's like, oh, business trip, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I find finance so interesting. And then he's like pouring us drinks from the minibar. And then like very soon after, we're like suddenly making out and I'm jerking him off because like that's who I am, I guess. And then apparently I pass out again because I'm still drunk. Like truly sometimes I don't understand how I made it through my 20s alive. But anyway, so I make up like soonish, wake up soonish after to him like kind of jostling me like really politely like, ma'am, I don't want to be rude, but like I really assume that you don't want to wake up here tomorrow with none of your things. Like, do you have anywhere to be? And I was like, fuck. Like I look at the clock, it's 10 p.m. I'm just like, okay. So I call the lobby and I'm like, hi, this is kind of awkward, but like I kind of lost. And the guy just interrupts me and he's like, oh, everyone is looking for you, room 504. I'm like, thank you. Like call on the phone, like put my clothes on. I walk into the hallway and like Paul Rudd is already there and he's like, what are you doing in that room? I was like, taking a nap. Like, why? And he was like, he could not even deal. He was just like, okay, like leads me back into the hotel room, like down the hallway. And I walk in, it's just like naked on the bed, masturbating is my fan. And I was like, oh, hey, nice to meet you. And she was like, massive hug, like for way too long. She's like, oh my God, like, I hope this is okay. I was like, hope what's okay? And she was like, so like, I'm fucking the guy you came with. I was like, I literally know neither of you. So the last thing I want to do at that moment is have a threesome because I'm so tired. But then I remember that it's like literally my job. So I was like, fuck. So like I get in bed and we start having sex and he's like obsessed with this girl because she's like nervous and awkward, which is obviously his thing, like hence wanting the civilian. So I'm like arching my back, trying to get attention unsuccessfully. I'm like, what? So eventually, which seems like 45 days later, he comes and then like comes in, like, immediately jolts out of the bed and pulls a duffel bag out of the closet. And we're like, okay. And then he opens it and it's full of money, like a cartoon villain. And he just starts, like, shoving money into our bags. And, like, my fan looks at me, like, super confused. And I was like, fuck, like, I forgot to tell you, like, you're a prostitute now. But I never brought it up because I was literally asleep. And she was just like, but then, like, ended up she didn't care because she was DTF anyway. So it was just, like, an added bonus. So we get in the, and we share a cab back to Brooklyn. And we're counting our money. And we each got roughly, like, $1,200. And I was like, no one told me I had to share my money with, like, this bitch. But I guess I don't feel comfortable filing a complaint because I, like, literally fell asleep on the job and, like, also took a hiatus to fuck a stranger for free. But anyway, so fast forward, me and my fan keep in touch, and she ends up becoming a sex worker. And I was like, I felt so cool. Like, I felt like I finally got to be the mentor that I clearly never would have had the chance to have otherwise. That's it. Thank you for listening. Be my sugar daddy and provide me with your candy. I will be your sugar, sugar baby. If you be my sugar, sugar daddy, sugar, sugar daddy. I think I need a taste. I've been a good girl. Come give me some. Cause I've been here waiting for you. For you. Why don't you come through? Come on, lollipop, my Hershey kisses, my favorite candy shop. That's what I'm missing. It's you. It's you. Why don't you come through?
Why don't you come through?
They try to tell me to stop.
That was Sugar Daddy by Macy Gray. By supporting Body Storytelling on Patreon, you become an active participant in my creative process. As a member, you receive exclusive content, community access, behind-the-scenes updates, and the pride of fueling sex-positive work that matters to you. Whether you love stories, whether you believe in personal freedom, or you just love what we create here at Body, you can help us continue. COVID has knocked me on my ass, and Patreon is what's keeping me going. If you support me on Patreon, not only do you get to feel good about the fact that you're ensuring that Body continues and will be there for you on the other side of this thing, you're also going to get free live stream tickets, free live stream replays, my behind the scenes coaching series. You're going to get to hear interviews with sex positive and kink positive luminaries, and it all lives on Patreon. Become a member of the Body Storytelling Patreon community today, and you get all of these things and more. So go to patreon.com/body, B-A-W-D-Y. Support me at whatever level you can, and thanks so much for your support. Damn it! It's the end of the episode. Let's say thank you to the people who are making this possible. It ain't just me. Thank you to podcast producer Marty Garcia. Oh, and live stream technical director Marty Garcia. Totally self-taught, you guys. He is so good at what he does. And I am sure when they start giving awards for live streams, he's going to win one for that too, because he's won a fuck ton of them for his podcast talents. Next up, live stream awards. Why don't they have live stream awards? That doesn't make any sense. Also, I want to thank David Grossoff, our sound engineer from our San Francisco show. Thank you to video archivist Joe Moore. He's helping us get the live stream replay up on Patreon every couple of weeks. And thank you to you. Thank you for telling your friends about the Body Storytelling Podcast. Tell them about the live streams that are happening every 2 weeks. Even though we're separated because of COVID, we still get to come together every week with the podcast and every 2 weeks with the live stream. I hope to see your face on the live stream. I hope to get an email from you about the podcast, however you can connect with me. I'm the sort of person who really likes to know what's going on in your life. Thank you for listening. I'm sexual folklorist Dixie Delator. This has been episode 136 of the Body Storytelling Podcast. See you next week.